I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. As I go through this life, although it is a good life, I find myself, you know, I need to be reminded almost daily, actually minute by minute, that life is a journey. And Philippians 4:19 says, Paul, the apostle speaking, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I need to be reminded of that, and I need to know that there's something that's going to take place in my life as I am on this journey. Well, what do I need to do as I journey through this life? I know that I must continue to face and tackle life right where I am each day, each step of the way. And all the things that I need and all the things that I find missing, such as wisdom and knowledge for my ignorance, strength for my weakness. I need the strength for my weakness in my ignorance. I need knowledge for that ignorance and companionship for my loneliness and guidance for my walk and talk. And I need it today and every other day of my life. And God's working to win over my self-working, which is wrong in thought, in words, and in what I do. In other words, the things that I do on my own, I need those things worked over by God. And the more I realize these needs in my life, the more I will realize my need for the God who can supply all things. And once again, Philippians 4:19 says, and Paul speaking, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And as I continue to act right and walk right as I go from step to step, I need to remember at least four things as I go through this journey. First thing I need to remember is this: life's journey is a contest. And there's a constant contest of right versus wrong, truth versus error. And there's victory and defeat, winning and losing. There is a great contest, and Paul the Apostle knew about this, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you want to turn there in your Bible today, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to read some verses there. Starting with verse 24, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? And he says, we run so we can win. And Paul goes on to say, so run that ye may obtain or win. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Well, Paul the Apostle knew there was a race. He was in that race. And he knew that there was a prize that he needed to keep going. And one day he would receive that prize. The Bible teaches that there will be rewards for those who are saved at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know how that's going to take place. I don't know how they'll be handed out. And I don't know everything about that. But I do know that the Lord says in his word, when we do good, he says, when we get there, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so did Paul the Apostle, and he knew there was a contest going on. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul the Apostle knew that there was a warfare going on within himself. And as I think in my own life, I know that there are things that hinder my walk with the Lord. The devil is one of them. Now, he may not personally take part in that of trying to defeat me, but he has those workers. They can either be the spiritual workers in high places. The Bible says there's wickedness in high places. That would be the demons of hell that come about and try to cause me and you trouble. But there's also those people in the flesh who are not saved, and sometimes even those saved people who are around us. Believe it or not, the devil cannot have their soul, but he can influence them. His workers can influence those people. And sometimes we even see those people, some people in the flesh, who can cause us a problem. But as we walk, I find that one of the biggest problems in my life and possibly in yours is not other things and other people, but it's myself. I find that I've got to understand that as long as I'm in the flesh, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to have problems. And the biggest problem that I see in my life is myself. I need to let the Spirit of God live in me and work through me. I've let the Spirit of God live in me because I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The Bible says that when we receive Jesus, then the Holy Spirit of God comes to live within us. And then the Bible teaches that I need to walk in the Spirit. That means to have a daily cleansing. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not to be saved all over again. It's because we are saved that we can confess sin as Christians and get that cleansing. Paul the Apostle said he was in a race, but there's times when we simply walk. He says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God take control of you. Let the Spirit of God." Now, the flesh can't force that. We must offer ourselves to the Lord as saved people. And, you know, I've heard people say you need to lay your all on the altar. In other words, you need to say, "Lord, here am I. Do what you would with me as a saved person. I'm willing to submit not myself to you." As we do that and we confess sin in our lives, then the Lord is willing to use us in the ways that we could never imagine as human beings. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, you know, Paul answers a question, what can separate us from the love of God? He says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." We can conquer the things of this life by letting the love of Jesus come through us and experiencing the power that only he can give us in this life. It's through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have overcome the world." And you know that I am the victor and the conqueror through Jesus Christ. And we as his believers can say we are more than conquerors. In Romans 8:37, once again, Paul said we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors, not in ourselves, but in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, life's journey is a contest, and life's journey is a conflict. Life's journey is a battle of words and wits and hurts and harms and kill and killings, and we see that all around us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, it talks about that. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I've already mentioned that we are in a conflict with spiritual wickedness. And as we look at this, we also see in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh," we're alive, we're human beings, "we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," or in other words, fleshly, "but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ," letting the Lord work in our lives and letting him do the things that he would. And we need to realize that the devil wants each one of us, our testimonies, to be ruined. He wants each one of us to just throw in the towel and to give up. But Paul the Apostle says that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood and bone and all that. We're wrestling against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the places of this world. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Ye did run well. What did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" Well, the truth is that God wants to give us the victory. over the flesh, over the devil, over the things, the spiritual wickedness in high places today in this life. Also notice that not only is there a contest as we journey through this life, there's also conflict, and then there's a concern. The people problems and pressures around us tend to make us worry and be anxious. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, Paul says, "Be careful for nothing." In other words, don't be anxious. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice, in everything, we're to pray. We're to ask God for things in our lives, and we're to ask God for things in other people's lives as well to help them. And with thanksgiving, in other words, thanking the Lord for what he's done and what he's going to do in the future. Ask him and pray and thank him for the things, although it hasn't been done yet, thank him that it will be done. And Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4 and verse 7, he says, "The result of all this, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." There's a contest, a conflict, and concern. And then I see there is a confidence and comfort. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, and we see many verses that Paul the Apostle has written in Philippians, Paul said even during difficult times when he was in prison, he said, "I am confident, I am convinced." He was assured, he was fully persuaded, he was certain of this very thing. He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you," and he's speaking of himself as well, "will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ," until God takes us home. And Paul knew for sure that God was working. He says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure," Philippians 2:13. "And that he," that's the Lord, "would continue that good work which he," the Lord, "had started." And he would someday complete that good work because of the, you know, as we think of this, and Paul says, because of this knowledge, every believer is comforted and should be able to say with Paul the Apostle, "Thank you." In everything, in every situation of life, in every stage of life, and we need to say this with Paul the Apostle, "I thank you, Lord, for all things as I take each and every step. I thank you, Lord, for taking care of me." 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Do you know the Lord today in this life's journey that you're going through? If you don't know him, you need to say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I know I can't save myself. I know I can't go to heaven on my own. Would you please save me today? As best I know how, I'm asking you, Lord, to come into my heart and save me." And if you do know him, walk in the Spirit. Let him lead, guide, and direct your paths.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life Radio. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida 34731. Visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We know you will be blessed. This program is listener supported. Support your local church first. Any gifts to support this ministry can be sent to LRWM at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. Until next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.